Well, I thank you for the honor to be here this morning. It really is old home. Growing up in Milan, but Milan Dummer is my home. And some of you know this, some don't know this, but if you want to go back a few generations, there were three Stiles brothers. None of those three Stiles brothers, you have my line, you have my cousin Steve Northridge's line, and then you have Diane and Dwayne's line. But we're all the product of three brothers.
Right.
And
blame it on them.
Blame it on them. So our roots run very deep in these two communities. And growing up here, Diane is, she's really my big sister. You know, it's technically a cousin, but she's my big sister. Dwayne's always been a brother, and Steve's, we're brothers and sisters. We're not really cousins. And so it's just great to be with the family today. If you want to follow along, I'm going to be speaking from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. When I came yesterday for the Strawberry Festival, I see you got some nice new chairs. In the preaching world, those are referred to as the six-hour chairs. So I talked to Malcolm, and we've changed the schedule. I have an hour. Dwayne has an hour. Malcolm has an hour. Glenn's back there. He has an hour. So get comfortable. You're in for it today. My heart has been in the Gospel of John, and especially the 8th chapter. I just can't get enough of the 8th chapter. I wish I did have the time to just preach the entire chapter. I'm going to be focusing on verses 31 through 36. But I want to just begin by speaking for a moment about the first 11 verses. And the first 11 verses are about the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. I laugh every time I read that. How did you catch her in the very act? Looking in the windows? But what I'm asking you to do is to look at the sin in your life. Forget about the fact it's a woman. Forget about the fact that she was caught in the very act of adultery. You plug in your sin. The Pharisees have caught you in the very act of. Now you plug in. Fill in the blank with your sin. And so the Pharisees have brought you to Jesus. And Jesus writes in the sand. Nobody really knows what Jesus was doing. But some commentators, some theologians, they kind of wonder if maybe what he was writing in the sand was, Ira committed this sin. Malcolm committed this sin. And his Pharisees, they were looking down going, really, Jesus, I really don't want you exposing my sin. Huh? Malcolm, you don't want me to tell everybody here what you did when you were 10 years old, 20 years old. I didn't think so. And he said, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. One by one, they left. Uh-oh. I can't even stand here and lie and say I'm without sin. Because here's Jesus. Perhaps that's what he was doing, was pointing out my sin. That's not good. And finally, it is Jesus and the woman. And Jesus asked, where are those who came to accuse you? And she said, they have all gone. And it's these words. She said, no one, Lord. Or he asked, who condemns you? And she says, no one, woman. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's the words that Jesus says to each one of us. Neither do I condemn you. Go. That list, whatever it is, your sins. Go and sin no more. From the 31st verse through 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Abide. Abide in my word. What does it mean to abide? It means to continue, to remain, to stand, to stay, to dwell, to be present. This is where we need to be, right here in His Word. And we're not just talking the New Testament. We're talking Old and New Testament. Because if we go back to the very first words of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're not talking just new. We're talking old and new. The entire Bible. We need to abide in it. We need to stand in it. This is our owner's manual. Now I'm going to be the first to admit, I'm a typical guy. You know, you go to Walmart, you buy, we'll say, one of these bookshelves that you have to put together. Comes in a box about so high, and you take all the pieces out, and I don't need those instructions. I know how to put these things together. And usually I get down to the last couple pieces, and all of a sudden I realize, uh-oh, this piece should have gone before this piece, and now I can't put it in because, so I got to tear it all apart again. Because I didn't want to use the instructions. How do you get through life? This is your instruction manual. It's your owner's manual. You need to read it. You need to abide in it. You need to dwell in it, to stand in it. Make this word living for you. He goes on to say, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, I don't think as a whole our society understands disciple. If I say disciple, that's those 12 men that followed Jesus for 3 years. Yet Jesus said, go and make disciples of all.
Right.
Not 12, all. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? What is a disciple? I thought about my training at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. I could name several people, but there's one of my professors that just stands out. Dr. Walter Kaiser. He was the professor that I could, he would be teaching us. He wasn't teaching, he was preaching. And I would just sit there like, it was like a flood coming at me. And it was like, oh, just keep teaching me, Walt. Keep pouring it on, Walt. I would have loved, instead of having just maybe two classes with him, I would have loved to have sat under him for 3 or 4 years, every single day, learning from him. And to be a disciple, if that were possible, that I could have sat under Walt's teaching for that amount of time. And if you all knew Walt Kaiser, then you would come to me and say, you remind me so much of Walt. You are just like him. You talk like him. You live your life like him. It's like you're a little Walt Kaiser. He was a big man.
With a real deep voice.
That's what the 12 apostles were. They were followers of Jesus. They sat under his teaching. And the end result was to be like Jesus. That's a disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus the Christ? How often do people walk up to you and say, you're just like Jesus. Your actions are like Jesus. Your words are like Jesus. That's what we should be striving for. To be like Jesus. And how does it happen? Abide in my word. Like I said, if I could have sat under Walt Kaiser for 3 or 4 years, non-stop. Whew. Wow. How do you sit under Jesus? You got it right here. The problem is, what are you going to do in a couple hours when you return to your home? Now, where did I leave that Bible? I know I had brought it in the house last Sunday. Where did I leave it? It's doing you no good sitting on your nightstand or wherever you might leave it. You got to open it up. You got to read it. You got to study it. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Where are you finding your truth today? Oh, I know. It's Scott Pelley on the CBS Evening News. Or it's Wolf Blitzer with CNN. And I'm going to be fair about this. I'm fair and balanced. It's Steve Doocy and Brian Kilby on Fox News. Is that where you're getting your truth? I mean, let's be honest about what's going on down the street here, about, I don't know, 500-600 miles. Do you honestly know the truth? All we know is what they want us to know, and we watch on the evening news. What is truth? You want truth? Here it is. If you watch Channel 9 News, they had a big event down in Portsmouth yesterday. It was Pride Day. Is it truth? They think it's truth. What is it saying here? Leviticus 18:22. What does that say? A man shall not lie with another man in the same manner that he lied with a woman. It is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. That conflicts with what the world is teaching today. Which one is truth? I don't say this because I hate those people. I love those people. But I want them to be free. I want them to know the truth. I had to come to know the truth. At 18 years of age, I left Milan Dome. Who wants to live in this little one-horse town? There's nothing here. I mean, you got to put it into perspective here. From being from this little town, Manchester's a big city. It's a metropolis. There's a lot going on in Manchester. And that's where I went. And for the next 5 years, I can tell you about sin. If it was sin, I was somehow involved. But the truth shall set you free. My brother Dwayne and I have talked about this. It's amazing. He was off. He's just enough older than me. He was kind of off and doing his thing. And
I was a hippie.
I was off doing my thing. But when we've come to talk now, it's like our paths were almost the same. How we were both living our lives. I think both of us relate to Paul. Sinners, I am chief.
No.
But then God got a hold of our hearts. And the truth has set us free.
Amen.
And that's where I want to be. I want to be in God's truth. And I want those out there that are living the lie of the world to know the truth. That the truth will set them free. I laugh every time I read verse 33. The Jews answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." Why is Exodus in the Old Testament? What about Babylon? And then this idea, we're Abraham's descendants. So? In my own family, on the other side, my mother's side, my grandfather Gould, G-O-U-L-D, I say that because we got the Gould family here in Dummer. According to my grandfather, going back many generations, and I don't know how many that is, so I'm just going to refer to my great-grandfather, and I don't know how many greats actually belong there. But anyways, the first one that came to America was a stable hand working for the royal court in England. I honestly don't know the period of time, so I don't know whether it was a king or a queen. But regardless, my great-grandfather fell in love with a family member of the royal court. The king or queen, whoever it was, forbid that young lady to have anything to do with my great-grandfather. So what did they do? They went down, boarded a ship, and they came to America. So here it is. I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I've been thinking about flying over and going to Buckingham Palace and knocking on the gate and saying, I'm one of your relatives. I got the same blood flowing through my veins. How many of you think I'll get through that gate? It means absolutely nothing. We're descendants of Abraham. So what? What does that mean? Well, they misunderstood being free. The truth shall set you free. They're thinking about slavery. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And I think we need to define that a little deeper. I mean, sin is sin, and I don't want to take away from that. But there are those sins that, yeah, from time to time we all slip up. I still do my own mechanic work, and on occasions I'll smash a finger or a thumb and... Oh, sugar plum! Except that's not quite the words that come out. But it happens occasionally. But I don't do it all the time. And I try not to do it at all. But what are the sins in our lives that are constant? Drunkenness. Drug use. Adultery. Fornication. Pornography. You just can't get away from it. It's an everyday thing in your life. That's what Jesus is talking about. You are a slave. You are in bondage to that sin. You are not free. I want to take you back to the Exodus. Chapter 20, verse 2. This is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Every single one of us, we're either in Egypt or God has brought us out of Egypt. Every one of us has been in the house of bondage, or you are in the house of bondage. Because Jesus said, if you're committing sin, you are a slave to sin. So what I'm asking you today, and I'm asking for honesty on your part. What is your Egypt? Go back through your life. What is the bondage that you have been under or are still under? Please don't do like I had a parishioner 20 some years ago. I don't sin. I have never committed sin. I didn't want to get too close to that person. What is it Paul wrote? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All! No exceptions, except for Jesus Christ. But everybody else. It doesn't say all but Dean and Dwayne and Malcolm have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So every single one of us has something new. What is your Egypt? What bondage have you been under? A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son does. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, when we allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord and the Savior of our life, we become a son. A son of God. And it's there that we are going to abide in the house forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Am I perfect? Far from it. I'm a work in progress. But I'm free. My brother Dwayne is free. I have no idea when this life is going to end. But I know that whenever it ends, I know where I'm going. I know that I am going to be with Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. I began by saying that we're the product of three brothers. In my life, the most influential was Uncle Ernest. My grandfather died when I was like 4 years old. I grew up around Uncle Ernest. And again, Dwayne and I talked about this. That man prayed for the two of us.
Yes, he did.
I'm sure Dwayne will share something, but Uncle Ernest wrote me a letter when I was in the Navy. I had just barely come to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. He knew that my life was going to change. I'm almost positive Dwayne has shared some stories of how his grandfather knew that Dwayne wasn't going to stay where he was forever. He was a prophet. That letter was written, I believe it was 1980. And there was a young couple that were dating each other, but they'd had a few issues and they'd kind of gone their separate ways. But in that letter, Uncle Ernest wrote, "Steve and Melinda are right in love." I don't think Melinda's going back to college. When I shared that with Steve and Melinda, they said, "We weren't even speaking to each other when that letter was there." Uncle knew. He knew what was going on. He had us all figured out. But he had a great influence in our lives. I don't think Dwayne and I would be where we are today if it wasn't for Uncle Ernest. He knew that the Son would set us free. Free indeed. So how do we get there? Right here. Forget ABC, CBS, NBC. Forget Fox. Right here.
Yes.
There's what you need to be. Now, I'm not trying to say be ignorant. Tornadoes come through, hurricanes come through. I want to know what's going on. I don't mind news. The problem is, it's no longer news.
That's true.
That is.
It's the ABC opinion of the night.
Yeah.
It's the NBC nightly opinion. It's not news. I want truth. Because the truth will set you free. God's word will set you free. I want to encourage each of you, when you have some time later today, sit down and think about your life. Think about your agent. And please don't say to yourself, Dean was not correct. I've never been to Egypt. Because there's not a person in this room that has not been to Egypt. There's not a person in this room that has not been in the house of bondage. But what I want is for every one of you to say, or hear the words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage. Spend time right here. Everything you need to know is right here. You wonder how important this word is? I think back to, again, it was 1980. I had just been reassigned and I was now in Gulfport, Mississippi. Like I said, I was a new Christian. And I was studying God's Word. And on this particular night, on the evening news, I heard this report. Medical breakthrough. We have discovered that the best day to circumcise a male is on the eighth day.
Is that an English
doctor? Isn't that in here someplace? Didn't God say to do it on the eighth day? The only thing they did, really, was, you know, I mean, it doesn't say in here why to do it on the eighth day. It just says do it on the eighth day. Medical science found that the blood clots perfectly on the eighth day. That's right. Man, you want the truth? How many thousands of years before scientists figured that out? And God told us right here. Why are you looking to those folks for the answers when it's all right here? Abide in my word, and you will be my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many of you are disciples of Jesus Christ? Uh-oh, Malcolm. You got some work to do, because I didn't see one hand go up. Well, now suddenly they're going up. You got the next message ready, right, Malcolm? All right. Folks, every single one of you should be raising your hand.
Amen.
We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you don't think you are, you ought to be. He said, go and make disciples of, just a handful of people. Go and make disciples of all. You are called to be a disciple. And he says, if you abide in my word, you will be my disciple indeed. That's where we need to be. With Jesus Christ. Not the folks on the evening news. Last fall, was that election important? Absolutely. Regardless of who would become the president, take the name out of it, it doesn't matter. Will the president of the United States bring you salvation?
No.
You know, I'm a fan of Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee's a Christian. But if Mike Huckabee had become the President of the United States, he's not going to bring me salvation. Mike Huckabee didn't die on the cross for me. Only one man ever did that. There's no political leader that has ever gone to the cross and given their life. For all. Only the Son of God has given his life so that you could have life with God the Father. That's where I want to be. I want to be with God my Father. I want to be with Jesus the Son. Starts right here. Abide in my word. Take this book seriously. You know, there's a lot in here that just... We've been studying in the three Bible studies that I lead. We completed Genesis, we're in Exodus. But going back to Genesis, we were at that point of studying the life of Joseph. And it was at that point where the brothers were coming down to Egypt wanting to get some food. They don't know who Joseph is. As far as they're concerned, their brother's probably dead. Joseph, on the other hand, knows who these gentlemen are. You go and bring me your younger brother, Benjamin. Now, they never said anything about Benjamin, but he knew there was a brother, Benjamin. And he was a little crafty with him. Took that grain of wheat and he stuck one of his chalices in. And then he sent his guards out and brought back the brothers. One of you stole my chalice. And they go through the sacks, and guess whose sack it's in? Younger brother Benjamin. But here's the part that stands out to me. as they're going back and forth, and Joseph is saying, Benjamin's staying here, he's going to get punished for this. Who steps forward and says to Joseph, no, do not keep Benjamin here. Take me in his place. Who?
Judah.
What line is Jesus from? The Lion of Judah. The tribe of Judah. You see it back there with Judah? Take me in place of my brother. And generations later, who took our place?
Jesus.
So is the Old Testament important? Man, I read that and I went, whoa! Wow! I was excited for weeks about that one verse. Abide in my word, and you will be my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Meditate on those words. Let him sing again. So I'll ask you one more time. How many disciples do we have here? That's a lot. All right, Malcolm. But if for some reason you didn't raise your hand, or you raised it because you didn't want to be the lone person without me. But if you're sitting there saying, I really don't quite understand this, don't leave today. You got Pastor Malcolm, Pastor Glenn, Pastor Dwayne, myself. You got the other elders of this church. Do not leave here without asking more questions. Because we want you to be disciples of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Father, you know everyone here. You know our hearts. You know our weaknesses. You know our strengths. Even when we hold back and say, I'm without sin, you know the truth. You know everything about us. Writing in the sand. Lord, may we hear your voice today. May we walk with you. We give our lives completely to you. May we be your disciples. We give you all the glory and all the praise this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.